worship the Lord, and I pray you don't let this world rob you of that opportunity. I just want to say this is a high pulpit. My reading glasses, the bottom of them, this morning I was trying to read my notes, and I'd have to stand back here because it's just right here. But some of you know my pain, you know my problem. Some of you young people, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I promise you there's coming a day. And my mother used to tell me that, you know, the reality of it is, Kelly, I don't like people that use iPads when they preach. They need to take the Bible in the pulpit, and I was 100% with her. And then I started getting older. I got a blood clot in my left eyeball, and it starts fishtailing. I start getting little Nike swooshes underneath every letter that I read. And sometimes when I'm not reading off the screen, I'm reading off the Bible like I was this morning, my words just kind of intermingle, and I don't see like I used to see. And my issue is I quote a lot of it, and sometimes my mind now starts putting together other verses, and I create my own version, and I come up with these new verses of Scripture. But I appreciate the modern technology. I'm thankful for that. Thankful that we live in a day where you can sit inside in air condition. I'm thankful we're not under a brush harbor tonight. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we can go over to thermostat. If it's too cold, you turn on some heat. And then if it's too hot, you can turn on some cold. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to get in the car and turn it on. I don't have to clean up after my car. I just got to clean up after myself eating in the car. But I'm just thankful to be living in the day and age which we live. And I appreciate your church. I appreciate your pastor. Some of my favorite singers, some of my favorite people. Of course, they're family, but they're real. And I like real people. That's my goal as a pastor, is I don't want our church just to be a church of people who are just doing church. I want it to be real. I want the relationship with God to be right. If this relationship isn't right, then this relationship can't be right. You might think you're okay, and as a marriage, you might think you're okay as a family, and it may look good on the outside, but it'll never be what God intended to be until this relationship is where it belongs. So if you'll keep this account very short, I promise you these accounts will not be very long, and you'll have a great relationship with people, and you'll not have the problems that the world has and the flesh has and the devil has. If you take your Bibles and go back to the book of Ephesians, and as we go there tonight, I know that we just kind of scratched the surface on a lot of subjects this morning, and hopefully my hope was this morning, as God led us to preach that, would be that you would start thinking, well, that's an outside look instead of an inside look. I want to know how the Spirit of God sees things. To do that, there's a command in Scripture that every one of us ought to follow. And as you take your Bibles and go back to Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, we'll begin there and probably stay there. We possibly may go to Deuteronomy, according on time. I appreciate the extra time to preach. But if you look here, the Bible says, in verse number 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." I don't know what that means to you, but when I think of unfruitful works of darkness, I think of where the world is today, and I think of how vile the world is today. And you know, and the reality is, I'm not to really have fellowship with that. When I think of fellowship, I know there's the fellowship that we have as Baptists, where we sit around like we did today and we eat food and we just kind of fellowship together and hang out together. But I believe real fellowship is a spiritual fellowship. I believe it's when you get in discipleship and you get into the Word of God and you open up that book and the Spirit of God works through your life and works through my life. And I believe we have fellowship with the Word of God. We have fellowship one with another. And here's what it says. It says not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That means I'm not to give place to the devil. I'm not to give my time, my talent, my treasures. I need to, as a child of God, know that it's important tonight not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. When you say unfruitful works of darkness, I want you to realize there are things that are going to happen in your life that are going to be ugly. There are going to be bad things that happen in your life. You're not going to escape life without the devil trying to fight, without this world affecting you. But I know as a child of God, I am not to fellowship. I'm not to study on that. I'm not to hang out there. The reality is I need to hang out with the fellowship of righteousness, the fellowship of holiness, the fellowship of God. What can God do with that unfruitful works of darkness? Then he says, the Bible says in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And all God's people said. How many here can say, well, I'm guilty already tonight. Guilt is of the devil, convictions of God. Guilt always tells you you're unworthy. But conviction always says there's hope, there's help, and there's healing. God always shows us a way out through conviction. Here's what he said. Don't have fellowship with it, and don't even speak about it. Don't waste your time sitting around fellowshipping, letting the devil have your mind, your emotion, and your will about the unfruitful works of darkness. But then look at verse 13. But all these things are reproved and are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Here's what he said. If you're not going to have fellowship with darkness, then you need to have fellowship with light. Well, then you go on to study in your Bible. You say, well, what is light? The Bible says God is light. The Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And all God's people said, hey, we can fellowship with light. We can fellowship. The Bible says we're not going to stumble. Understand, we walk with God in the light as he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That sin that's done to us, that sin that we've done to others, that sin in our past, that sin in our present, and that sin in our future. And the Bible says don't have fellowship with that darkness. Have fellowship with light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, boy. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. Now look with me, if you would, in verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Bible tells us that the days are evil. But we need to redeem our time. When I give my time and my mind to the things of this world, the flesh and the devil, the unfruitful works of the darkness, I understand that it's going to produce an unbiblical fruit, an unrighteous fruit, an ungodly fruit. It's going to produce darkness. So I want to have light. I want to have fellowship in life. So how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to start redeeming my time. I'm going to start taking my time back. I'm going to start gleaning my time. How many knows that the Bible's clear? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man what? Soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap what, class? Corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Now, we got a choice. We can either sow in darkness or we can sow in light. We can spend fellowship in darkness and talking about all the evil of the world and all the darkness of this world, or we can focus on the light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We are commanded by God to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Every thought. So look, if you would, then. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, Brother Kelly, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, if I knew what the will of God was, well, that's found in Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Don't let the word scare you, and don't let the world rob you of that verse. The word predestined there means God's preordained plan. God's plan is that found in Romans 8:29, the will of God for every man, woman, and boy sitting here is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That means he is our match. He is the one that we are to look to. He is the mold that we are to put our lives in. We are to be conformed not to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So when I look at this, I see then that the light is amazing. The light is something that all of us need. Well, how do I do that? How do I redeem the time? How do I get this understanding that I need the will of the Lord in my life? Here it is. And be not drunk with wine. Now, there's a verse of scripture that preachers pull out, and they preach hours on that verse, on not being drunk. But that's not what this context of the scripture is all about. We're talking about walking in light, not even having fellowship or even speaking of the things done in secret. And all God's people said. Here's what he says. Here's a comparison. He's saying alcohol changes men. What do you mean? Well, it gives them a boldness. It changes their walk. It changes their talk. How many's ever seen a drunk stagger down the street? Listen, he said, as a drunk is changed with alcohol, the child of God ought to be changed by something. There ought to be such a change in your life that they say there's something different about them. You remember over in the book of Acts, when the men were there, they all gathered together in the upper room, and the Spirit of God fell upon them, and God empowered the church. The Holy Ghost of God fell upon those disciples. Peter stood with boldness. Do you remember the men on the outside? I said, those men are drunk. They're different than they used to be. They have a boldness that they never had before. Peter, who was ashamed to even stand up against a little damsel and say, that's the Christ, that's who I serve. No. Now he's standing up and boldly preaching. And he said, let me tell you something. The Spirit of God ought to make a difference in every one of our lives. So I want to give you 16, 15, 14. How many will we get through? But I want you to give you a couple things here tonight. Like I said, we could preach for years on this, but I want you to see redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, verse 17, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what the will of the Lord is be not drunk with wine, but here it is, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say that with me. Be filled We went to a restaurant the other night, and the lady asked, what would you like to drink? And I said, I'm in the South. I want sweet tea. And all God's people said, give me some good sweet tea. That's just a little sugar, a lot of sugar with a tea flavoring, right? I want some sweet tea. I want it so when you stick the spoon in it, it stands up. That's how thick the sugar needs to be. Some sweet, sweet tea. We've got some folks from Georgia that come up, and boy, they say, now we make our sweet tea real sweet. I said, listen, I grew up in Southern Ohio. We drink sweet tea. I want sweet tea. And they make it sweet. But listen, here's the deal. I don't want a half of, when I'm paying, I want that glass to be full. And that waitress, she came up here and she pulled that glass, and it was just right there to the top. I mean, it was full. She couldn't get any more in there, or it would have spilled out over. Listen, that's what I get in my mind to picture. When the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, that means every joint, every thought, every emotion, everything in my body needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, how much of the Spirit of God did you get when you got saved? You got all of it. Now, here's the deal. It's how much of the Spirit of God, how much of your life is He's going to get? How much of your mind? How much of your emotion? How much of your will? How much of your time? How much of your time? He should have it all. Here's what He said. I want you to be that tea glass. I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. Church, it's not a suggestion. If you're going to walk in the light, and stay in the light and not walk in darkness and not get off in the unfruitful work of darkness, then you need to work at the will of God and it's be filled with the Spirit of God. Well, you say, well, where should we be filled at? Look, if you would. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, first of all, I want you to see you need to have a Spirit-filled walk. You say, Brother Kelly, I understand. You said this morning you're going to talk about the family, and I am. I'm getting there. But listen, we can't have godly families without godly lives. We need to have a Spirit-filled walk. Daddy, it's important that you are filled with the Spirit of God. Mama, it's important that you're filled with the Spirit of God. We'll show you tonight from Scripture. Young person, it's important that you're full of the Spirit of God. For it to do what God wants it to do, for the family to be what God wants it to be, we've got to start with being filled with the Spirit of God. How many knows input produces output? I mean, the reality is, if all you're putting in is worldly music, worldly talk, worldly visions, worldly, I mean, the reality of it is, you're going to be filled with something that's not the Spirit of God. Right. If all you're looking at is fortune and fame, and you're looking, listen, this world's not my home. I am free to worship. I'm free to lift up. Listen, the reality of it is, church, God wants you to live that abundant life. And well, how do I do that? Well, you start thinking from the inside out. How do I do that? You've got to feed the Spirit. If you don't feed the Spirit, the very first thing he says after you decide I'm going to have a Spirit-filled walk is you need to have Spirit-filled worship. Now, I know song services are important. I know church services are important. The Bible says not to fail to assemble ourselves together. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. But you know that's not enough. You need Spirit-filled worship. I'm talking about, hey, I'm not talking about, boy, you get to, you know, the back of your head, it just feels like there's angel wings that kind of break. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The reality is like, whoo, that was a good song. That was a good service. I'm talking about when you're in your car. I'm talking about when you're in your study. I'm talking about when you're with your children, with your wife. I'm talking about wherever it may be. There needs to be Spirit-filled worship. And it starts with music. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, we got to have the right kind of music. Psalms, that's God speaking. You understand? We're speaking the Word of God back. Hymns, understand? We're talking about the doctrine, the Word of God. Spiritual songs, how God worked in our life. We need to have a home that is filled with a spiritual walk. To have a spiritual walk, you've got to have spiritual worship. It is important in your church service to sing with all of your heart. I don't want to sing half-heartedly. I don't want to sing in the spirit of flesh. I want to sing in the Spirit of God. I want my home to be a home that has a right spirit. I don't like it when people come to our home and there's not anything different about our home. I want people to come in and I want them to say, boy, it's just so peaceful here. I like it when they come in our home. Well, now all the kids are gone. It really is. I like it when they say, hey, I want, preacher, what's different about your home? I can remember as a kid, the very first thing Dad would do is he would put on music on Sunday morning. And then my older brother, I can remember going to his house and being in his home. He'd put on music, and we'd listen to that music, and it just set a right mind. It set a right focus. It set a right heart. Listen, that's not just to be on Sunday. Every day of my life, I need to have a Spirit-filled worship. I'm not talking about, listen, I'm talking about something abundantly above and beyond what this world is talking about. I'm not talking about a Spirit-filled service. I'm talking about a Spirit-filled life. How do I do that? Well, I start with right worship. Number two, we not only need to have a Spirit-filled walk and a Spirit-filled worship, but number three, we need to submit. Well, how can I submit if we're not submitting one to another? Doesn't the Bible teach us something about let others esteem? We need not to esteem ourselves better than someone else. Every one of us need to look at, we need to set them up in the high places. We need to look to them. When you look to the husband-wife relationship and you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. The word benevolence means to have the disposition to be kind, charitable, to promote their happiness, to be for their good. And you see, you as a husband need to have the disposition, the attitude, the mind, that when you wake up in the morning, you say, well, how can I make her day better? How many women would like a husband? But that was his focus, is how can I make her day better? Well, be careful, because the rest of the verse says, and likewise also the wives unto the husbands. And here's what he says. He says the husbands ought to have this due benevolence, but then the wives to the husband. So here we have this happy home. They're filled with the Spirit of God. He wakes up. How can I make her day better? How can I make her day brighter? How can I make her? I just want to live my day so she can have it to the full. I just want her full of joy. And she wakes up and says, oh, I'm going to sing. Lord, I just want to make his life better. How many would want a wife better focus. You see, the reality of it is, you can't do that without the Spirit. You need to have a Spirit-filled worship. If this relationship is right, how can I ever have submission to the things of God if it isn't Spirit-filled? If it's out of will, stubbornness out of will, you're going to be looking for a place to rebel. You're going to be looking for a place that you can let go and let out. Listen, the reality of it is, we need children, we need adults, we need churches to come to the place where they say, the Bible commands me, it doesn't suggest to me that I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. If I'm not filled, then why not? What do I need to do to get filled? Well, here's what he says. Sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And here's what he said. Start getting your focus right. Submit to one another. Submit to one another. How can I help you, brother? How can I, what can I do to make your life better? When you come to a church, if everybody came to church looking on how they could be a blessing instead of receiving a blessing. I mean, you came to church and you'd already been in worship with the Lord. You didn't need a song to work you up. You didn't need a preacher to wake you up. You didn't need something. And you came to church ready to be a blessing. Oh, I want to be a blessing to so-and-so. I want to be an encouragement to so-and-so. And you, sometimes you don't even know who it is. God, just use my life today to make a difference in somebody's life. And you come in and you can just see. God says, it's that one. Go make a difference in their life. And you never know how your disposition makes a difference in people's lives. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that we need to submit to one another in love. You say, preacher, how do I do that? I don't even like those people. Isn't it amazing how God's church is put together? I mean, God puts, I mean, nothing else in life is like this. I mean, you get a baseball group together. I've coached high school football. I've coached little league football. I put together programs all, I mean, in Ohio and Alaska. And I'm telling you, people fight in churches the same as they fight on the baseball field. They fight. People fight at school. They fight. Listen, they have the same problems. There's the big I and the little you. But you know, in God's place, the foot of the cross is level. We all come the same way. We're all saved by grace through faith. And it doesn't make a difference your station in life, your wealth, the different. Listen, it's all the same. You can be a fisherman. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be a tax collector even. I mean, the lowest of low in that day and age, the traitor of their people. And they would come in and God would bring them together and they would submit to one another. And they were free to worship. They were free in relationship. Preacher, I want a godly family. I want a godly church. I want it to be right. We want to reach our community and make a difference. Submit one to another. You say, how do I do that? Full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. How do I do that? Well, you start off with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs on purpose, submitting one to another. You say, well, what do we do then? Well, before he ever gets to this next part, we see a Spirit-filled walk. We see a Spirit-filled worship. We see a Spirit-filled submission. But then we see in verse number 22, please just skip that part. The Spirit-filled marriage. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's exactly what they think. I mean, the reality. Wives, submit yourselves. How many just said, boy, we just can skip that? We don't, that submission thing, you know, he's used that a lot of times. Submit to me, woman. It's like, dude, you have no clue. They sat in there and say, Pastor, if she would just submit. And I'd say, boy, if you just submitted to God. If you just had the disposition that God tells you to have. If you just did your part, sir, you wouldn't have to worry about her part. The reality is we submit to him. We love him. It's a picture of Christ in his church. And as you look at this passage, the Bible says, and wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. That's a command, sir. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, we've written books. We've done seminars. People have spent years trying to put together this thing of submission. but it's under the guise of Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled submission is not a loss, it's a gain. When you are right where you need to be with God. Listen, I've met with many ladies in their life whose husbands were not the picture of Christ in the home. When the Bible says, husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, he was selfish, he was arrogant, it was all about him and he wouldn't do his part. But I would sit with that lady and I'd say, you know what the Bible says? What, wife? You know what the Bible says to you? You're submit to your husband as unto the Lord. She'd say, but you don't understand. No, I do understand. What you're doing is you're giving place to the devil when you're disobedient to the parts of the Bible that you do know. The Bible says you're to be Spirit-filled. Let the good conversation of the wife win the husband. You can go through scripture after scripture after scripture. I don't have time to do a marriage seminar, but dear lady, I want to promise you tonight, you obey God and you let God deal with him. Let God work it out. Let God do his part. You say, but Brother Kelly, you don't understand. He's just horrible to live with. Can I help you today? God has already seen that. He knows that. He's already carried everything that was contrary to you and nailed it to the cross and took it out of the way. He's already carried that pain. He's already carried that anguish. He's already carried that rejection. He's already carried everything that you say, well, Brother Kelly, no. The problem is you need to back up and quit walking in darkness. Have no conversation. Listen, the unfruitful works of darkness does not need to give. Don't give place to it. What do I do? You renew your mind to things that are true, honest, just, lovely, of good report. You start renewing your mind to, listen, I know God is at work in his life, and you start praying, you start having the right spirit, you start having the right heart. And I promise you, God's plan always works. Always works. Well, I've done it for 15 years. Well, I'll do another 15. I'm going to submit to you, Lord, as long as you get it done next week. I'll serve you. I'll step out by faith as long as you provide it next. That makes sense. It's a lifelong commitment. I'm going to submit to the Lord. How many ladies in here would say God always does what he says he's going to do? Then submit to the Lord. You say, but you said submit. He says, wives, submit to your own husband. But listen, it says, as unto the Lord. Listen to the as unto the Lord. You say, oh yeah, he wants me to call him Lord. He's an idiot. But I just want you to realize he's not Lord. But you submit to the Lord tonight. And you let God fill you tonight. Don't get caught up in the comparison of everybody else's marriage and start. You say, but preacher, I want a spirit-filled home. How do I have a spirit-filled home? It starts with you. Young person that's sitting in here tonight, your parents may not be spiritual at all, but I promise you, a young spirit-filled young man, a spirit-filled young lady can change the whole temperature of their home. Right. I teach our folks all the time, you're either a thermostat or a thermometer. One of the two. Hey, a thermometer, am I saying it right? Thermometer. A thermometer tonight, it reflects the temperature. We look outside, whoo, it's 90 degrees outside. And I say, yes, we pay for that kind of heat. And we look outside, it's 45 degrees. And other people say, yes, we pay to come to a life. Our church was full of visitors coming to the cold. Or you're a thermostat. Thermostat, you go over to the wall and it changes the environment. You go over there and you set it on, 78 degrees or 72 degrees or 50, whatever degree you want. 68 degrees is about perfect. And you set it right there at 68. Maybe, I don't know, when I went to pastor in Ohio, I came from Alaska, and it was so hot in that church. And those dear old saints, the majority of people that went to church there were 80 years old plus. I did 200 funerals in 2 years. I mean, it was crazy. And they would say, pastor, it's so cold in here. I said, wear a coat. I can't take clothes off. You can put clothes on. And we would argue over the heat. And I'd come in, the thermostat would be way up here, and the thermostat would be way down there, and we'd have it's age-old church division. Satan gets in the heating system. He freezes this person and heats that person. Listen, the reality, just submit to one another. Put on a coat. Take off your coat. Whatever you need to do. But I'm just saying, as a child of God here today, be a thermometer? No. Don't reflect your environment. Be a thermostat. Change your environment. I want the temperature of the room to change when I walk in. Should it not? Hey, I work at a school bus. I drive school bus. When I walk into that break room, and there's about six guys that are lost inside of there, I want their conversation to change when the preacher shows up. I don't want them to feel comfortable talking about things that they ought not to be talking about. I don't want them to try to show me pictures that they were looking at before I walked in there. Amen? I want to be a thermostat. I want to change my environment, not to reflect. So, young person, when you go home tonight, how about you be a thermostat? You know your attitude can set a course of fire in your home that causes a division between your parents, that causes... I know it. I've seen it. I've seen young people middle in between their mom and dad, and mom starts taking her side, and dad, he starts saying, but she's, you don't understand, or vice versa. Amen. If we all told our truth here today, we've actually played that part. Of just trying to get what we want. Every child knows which parent to go ask for something from. And so I want you to think about the reality tonight. Am I a spirit-filled Christian, or am I just a thermometer, just reflecting my environment? Everybody's happy at church. Everybody said it was a good service today, so it was a good service. La, la, la. No. God, I want to be spirit-filled. I want my home, I want my life to be a life that is changed. You say, well, Brother Kelly, I want my marriage to be right. Then let's have a spirit-filled marriage. How do we do it? You don't. It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do. And the command from God is, wives, do what? Before you ever get there, church, we are to what? Submit. Every one of us are to submit. We submit to the Lord, and as I submit to the Lord, now I can submit to my role that God created me to be. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, preacher, come on now. Husbands, love your... Oh, I love her. Yeah, I love her. I know how to fix her. I can just tell. The other day, my wife and I, we've been married for 37 years. And in those 37 years, we've had times in our life where I've played the part of the fool or the idiot. I'd come home from work, and she'd be at home with those four precious, innocent little children that never did anything wrong in our one bedroom with an attic house. And I'd walk in the house, and I would make this statement. What have you been doing all day long? I mean, I've been out working. Some of you going, because you felt that black eye, right? I'm saying, an idiot, right? Ignorant. I'm just saying the reality of it is nobody taught me. All I knew is I walked in the home's a mess. I think, come on. I've worked all day to make the money, to buy the food that we might eat. Can't you just keep the house clean? And boy, she'd fix me. She'd say, hey, there's a ladies' retreat. I'm going to have you watch all, you're going to watch all the kids plus all the, you know, Mike's kids. And they'd leave me with all those kids for 2 hours, 4 hours. I'm telling you, I was ready to go to work. Hey, I'm saying, there's, you say, Brother Kelly, no. I can remember a time when Jake over here was a little boy and he was having trouble learning to go to the bathroom. And so I'm gonna write a book on how to teach your child, how to potty train your 14-year-old son. No, how to train your little boy. We had went to that ladies' retreat. We had that ladies' retreat, and I thought, well, I'm going to show her. I cleaned the house spick and span, me and Crystal and Jake. And the place was just spotless. I mean, it glowed. It kind of had that heavenly, as you walked in. Fresh cookies, bacon, you know, it was awesome. And I said, guys, I'm dead tired. I'm going to sit down here in this recliner. Crystal, Jake, sit there and watch, you know, whatever show it was on. It's probably Superbook. Watch Superbook and don't do anything. I set the clock. We're going to get up and we're going to get Mom and help clean up the church. And so I'm asleep, and all of a sudden, you know that death silence? That you just know something's up. And I wake up, and they're not anywhere. And I see the bathroom door shut. I said, oh. And I go there. I had bought them brand new clothes. I went down to Brown and Hawkins, put new clothes. I wanted them to look crispy, shiny, clean. And I go in there, and Crystal had decided to help Jake clean up his mess. He had filled his brand new pants. I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. It was on the walls. It was on the bathtub. It was everywhere. There were towels. And if you know me, you know that I have this weak, sensitive, I mean, if I smell it, it's bad. If I see it, it's coming out another end. I'm just saying, it was awful. And so I'm looking around, and this mess is everywhere. Lord, what am I going to do? I wrap the towels around my head. I pray in this, praying this stuff. I'm cleaning it all up. I take the clothes off Jake. I stick them in a garbage bag, little clean plastic bag, put it on the porch, get him ready. We do the dad thing. I'm the man. We go out to the house. We clean. We come back, and there's a bear, a big old black bear, and he's standing there by the garbage can. Jake's coming up between the van. We had a little Aerostar, and he's shooting the bear with his pop gun, and it's awesome, you know. We shoo the bear off. He comes up. That bear stands up, and he's got a diaper hanging out of his mouth, you know. And I said, Jake, I said, we scared the bear off. We go in the house, and I set him up on the kitchen counter, and I looked at him in the eye. I looked him eyeball to eye. I said, Jake. Now look at me. You know what you did. I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry. I said, no. It's worse than that. I said, you see that bear? I said, you see what he had his diaper in his mouth? Yeah. I said, he smelled your poop. And son, if you ever go in your pants again, that bear's got your smell. And he's going to come, and he's going to bite your bottom. And I said the other word, B-U-T, you know. We couldn't even get the kid to go to the bathroom for like 10 years. I mean, he still has trouble. No. I'm just saying the things we get in, I'm either going to be a thermostat or I'm going to be a thermometer. And so I know that'll make a nice book for how to potty train your 14-year-old son. Now, but when you look at your life this afternoon, we laughed. I walked in the house the other day. We have the grandkids. My other one's from Kenai. We have 18 grandchildren, and all God's people said. They're a joy. I always tell people they're the reward for not killing your kids. Grandkids are awesome. You just spoil them, send them home. It's awesome. Well, you want candy? Sure, eat candy. I did it. I'm just saying, it's awesome. Grandkids are saying, yes, it's awesome. Let's go for ice cream. No, I'm saying the reality of it is here tonight, we had these six kids. Six is how many we had? We had six of them at the house. Caleb has six kids. We're babysitting them for 4 days. And I come home from the church. I walk in the door. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. It just looked like a cyclone hit the house. And I said, what have you been doing all day? Oh, we laughed. We've gotten past that because we've understood. I understood after several black eyes. And no. You're going to have a spirit-filled home. There's got to be some change. And you're either going to be a thermostat or you're going to be a thermometer. You say, preacher, how do I start changing? You start with you. I mean, the old songwriter, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Listen, there's some truth in that. Change my heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then will I teach transgressors their ways. Then sinners shall be converted unto thee. God, if I don't submit to what parts of the Bible that I know to be true. So how many here tonight know that we're supposed to submit to God? How many know that we're supposed to have a spirit-filled life? And so we are to have a spirit-filled home. You say, Brother Kelly, that's great. Spirit-filled marriages produce spirit-filled homes. If you come on down and you look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 1, here's the deal. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is... Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's what I always told my children. You want to live long on the earth? Obey me. Notice it says in verse number 4, and ye fathers, here it is, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are to be spirit-filled in our worship. We are supposed to be spirit-filled in our walk. We're supposed to be spirit-filled in our submission. We're supposed to be spirit-filled in our marriage. We're supposed to be spirit-filled as children. Children, here's how you become spirit-filled. You think, one of these days, I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to be the dad. And when I'm the dad, yeah, I'm going to do things differently. How many here, dads, stop that? How many has found yourself saying some of the same things your daddy said? I hear my dad speaking all the time. And I'm thinking as I'm growing, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I want spirit-filled children. Listen, the Bible wouldn't command that if he didn't enable you to do that. Well, how do you do that? Well, you've got to have a worship time. If you don't have any walk in the Word of God, if you don't have any song in your heart, if God isn't speaking to you, young people, I promise you, you're not going to have a spirit-filled life. If you don't take time to get in His Word, listen, study to show yourself approved. There's never going to be a time in your life when your mind is going to be as sharp as it is right now. It is an information sponge, and if you put the Word of God in, you hide it in your heart. David said, hey, I didn't realize I'm going to hide His Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. We need spirit-filled homes. But it takes a decision of a child to say, I'm going to be a spirit-filled young man, a young lady. And then I want you to see the spirit-filled servant. Look, if you would, here is the servants. It says, servants, ye obey them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. That means when the boss is around, you do a better job? No, it doesn't make a difference whether the boss is around or not. I'm serving Christ. My testimony is I want our young people in our church to be asked for. I want retailers, I want people to call up and say, hey, you got any boys to work? You got any men in your church that need a job? Why? Because I want our people to, if they're going to go a mile, I want them to go an extra mile. The boss says, hey, I want you to go above and beyond. Why? Because we're representatives of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do you get there? You got to be spirit-filled. I've got to have a right submission. I've got to submit to the Lord. Well, no, it's not about a paycheck. It's about a relationship. It's about a testimony. It's about who you represent. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ when you're working on that job. And sir, stealing from the company or taking that time from that company and robbing that company, it's wrong. And it's not going to be spirit-filled. So then you come to church and you've been robbing your employer, you've been bickering with your wife, you've been fighting with your children, and you stand up here and the song director says, let's all sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And you say, boy, that song service today was just dead. A stranger comes in, a barbarian, and he's lost and he's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. This place ought to be so spirit-filled that, hey, when they pull in the parking lot, they come under conviction. It's the way it used to be. Back in the old day, they would bring their horse and buggy and they would come. And as they would get on the property, the Spirit of God would fall upon them. When they sang the songs, people would get saved during the singing. I've seen it with my own life, my own eyes, what the Spirit-filled life looks like. By the way, this wasn't a suggestion. This is a command. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So if God tells you that you're to be spirit-filled, how many believe tonight that's what you need to work towards? You got to start by a spirit-filled walk. I'm going to start walking right. Well, you've got to know the directions on how to walk. If you're not in the book, how are you ever going to know the directions? We're going to get in a car. We're going to drive down to Mobile. I promise you, there's a lot of roads that can lead you to a lot of places out here. I'm saying the reality of it is you can end up way over in Mississippi someplace if you don't take the right roads. You can end up in Alaska in a few days if you don't take the right roads. Well, I'm just promise you today, you want a spirit-filled life, then you need to get to the rule book, you need to get to the road map, and you need to say, God, how do I have that? Well, you've got to put right music in, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, spirit-filled worship. That means, hey, some of the best services I've ever had, the best messages I've ever preached, no one else has ever heard but him. The most convicting messages I've preached have been on a Saturday night walking around that church when nobody else has been there. Sitting on that beach, watching the ocean and the waves and the whales jump and the beauty and the rainfall. And some of the best things I've ever seen with God has been when nobody else is around. I love when His Word just leaps off the page. I mean, it's sweeter than honey. It's more precious than silver. When you get into His Word and it becomes alive to you and God is speaking to you, hours pass and you think, wow. You say, preacher, you have that time. We don't have that much time. Listen, just start with some time. 20 minutes a day. Get up a little bit early. Go to bed a little bit late. Evening, morning, and at noon, you would find men like Daniel. You'll never have the work of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God, if you don't say, hey, I'm sick and tired of being a thermometer. I'm tired of letting everyone else read. I'm tired of letting him come to our home after a hard day at work. He's been out there sweating, and he comes in with that attitude. I'm going to quit focusing on his attitude. I'm going to focus on who I am. God, how could I be a better wife? How could I be a better husband? God, how could I be a better young person? God, how could I be a better daughter? How could I be a better son? God, how could I be a better church member? God, what would you have me to do? God, how would you use me? I mean, VBS is coming up, all the work that goes on to that. It's an awesome week, but I'm telling you, it's a very tiring week. And if you don't do it spirit-filled, all you're going to do is provide a week of babysitting. I know what it's like to have 300 children come to your church. I know what it's like to have them fill the auditorium and, boy, you preach a lesson and you see several kids get saved. And I know what it's like to have workers bickering behind the scene. I know what it's like to have a church that's not spirit-filled. People who's doing it for all the wrong reasons. This ain't Little League. This ain't the football field. This is the mission field. And we're on a mission for God. And God has big plans for New Hope Independent Baptist Church. He wants to see it go above and beyond what you even think or ask. My theme verse for our family was Jeremiah 33:3. That was my dad's theme verse for our family. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. While he wasn't a perfect father, my mom wasn't a perfect mother, we weren't perfect children, believe it or not. But think about it. The realness that we saw in their life, the spirit-filled side of their life, changed all three of us boys. All three of us boys became preachers. We have, if you look around and you start counting all the preachers that came out of that broken home, my dad's home was broken, my mom's home was broken, I could give you a time and their story that would just, it'd blow your mind away, the wickedness and the vileness that they grew up in. And what God has done. I am free. Free indeed. Free to worship. Free to praise His name. Free to be spirit-filled. So what kind of life do you want? Reflect. You're going to get in the car tonight. Some of you did the same thing we did for years. Get in the car. You fight all the way to church. You get into church. You got that Baptist smile on. You treat everybody else kind. How about you treat your wife with the same heart you treat other people? How about you treat your husband with the same compassion you have for others? How about you treat your children? You say, but Brother Kelly, you don't understand. They frustrate me so much. No, no, no. That's the flesh. That's the thermostat or thermometer mentality. I'm going to be a thermostat. I am going to change my environment. I'm free to worship. And if this relationship's right, these relationships will suddenly change. Even your enemies, the Bible says, will be at peace with you. What do we want? A life wasted? Just doing time? Several years ago, and I'll close with this, my wife and I went to Hawaii, and we were watching these people, and it's just like, I mean, whether it was the food line, whatever, wherever we were at, everywhere you went, it was like these old people were just standing in line, and I pictured in my mind as they were shuffling their feet, and they were just in line for everything. Everything you did was in line. And it was like, they're just in line waiting to die. I thought, I don't want a life like that. I don't want to just do my time. I just don't want to be married. I want a full marriage. I don't want to be just a dad that, you know, had kids, grandkids, and move on. I don't want the typical American dream. I want what God's thoughts are. I want to see what God could do. I step back and take a look at what God has done. I'm amazed at what that mentality of just saying, hey, I'm going to change my environment. I'm not going to reflect it. It's better, sir, to live, you know, on the housetop in a room with an angry woman. Why don't you change it? Why don't you make her feel special? Why don't you treat her like you say, but Brother Kelly, you don't understand. We've lived together for... No. Don't let the world deceive you of what God... You know marriage was God's design? God's... Who came up with this whole thing of husband and wife? It was God. And he has big plans for it. We're being robbed, alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of our hearts. Make the choice tonight to say, you know what? I'm tired of just reflecting everything around me or rejecting everything around me, shutting down, whatever your coping mechanism is, and I'm going to change my environment. Well, how can I do that? I got to first change my heart, oh God, in renewing me a right spirit. Then, Lord, I'll be able to help others. But God, first, start with me. Let it begin with me. Lord, let it work in my life tonight. God, convict me. Show me the error of my way. And God, I will obey. I'll do exactly what it is that you would have me to do. I wonder tonight as you're sitting here, has there been anything that I've spoken about that God's touched your heart in? Has there been any area of your life where you could say, you know what, preacher? God got me there. I kind of pushed it off to the side and I went on. I was glad you got into that bear story about Jake because it kind of, that guilt kind of, listen, God's not into guilt. The law makes us guilty. God's grace shows us conviction, and conviction shows us a way of hope and help and healing. God wants you to be free, free from sin, not under the bondage, not to continue in sin, but to be free from it tonight. I need to make a difference in my home, and I'm going to do my part, God. I don't care if they anybody, if your partner doesn't say, I'm going to surrender. You make the decision tonight, I'm going to be right this way so I can make the difference this way. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, pray for me in your closing prayer tonight. That's me, preacher. God spoke to me very specifically tonight about a specific area in my life. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to call you out, never ask you what it was, but I know God knows it tonight. Preacher, that's me. Would you slip up your hand?